Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
Truth straight up. I tuned in, I logged in, as you and Douglas from BBS Radio were talking, and he was saying, is it becoming a communist country? And it's like, it is becoming a communist country.
Right.
Want to talk about the primary victim? The primary victim is us. The primary victory of Abdul El-Sayed in Michigan, kind of narrowly beating the more moderate Democrat candidate. So he is running now. He's a Democrat candidate for U.S. Senate against the Republican candidate Mike Rogers. The other candidate, the other Democrat, was backed by pretty much all of the establishment and
particularly AIPAC. AIPAC. They threw in almost $64 million into trying to defeat El-Sayed. That's a huge amount for a primary.
Well, I knew, I was reading, it's like $80 million in all was spent in this primary, the most money ever spent in a Democrat primary. And so now we have a communist. And now, he's not saying, it doesn't say communist next to him, it says Democrat, but they're becoming interchangeable anymore. But we saw here in Denver, right? The progressive, essentially a Democrat socialist of America, communist, beat Diana DeGette. One time for her, and as you
mentioned, a scandal on her part, without any controversy on her part, and she only won. She won by 10 points, and they didn't have to rig that vote because it's not a Republican, so there's probably an honest vote.
Well, and you look at what's happening in the Colorado legislature and the Denver City Council. It's happening in other states too. And Michigan's sort of the latest. Now, Michigan has, I think, a huge Muslim population, doesn't it? From Michigan, right?
Huge Muslim population, but it does have a significant.
Okay. Yes.
Airborne and other places.
In Detroit, is reading things with people, and so.
It also has a Jewish population. Who is unlikely to want to support a person who would like to wipe him off the face of the earth. But who knows?
Well, and here's the thing. If people are pointing out, the Democrats are pointing out, that Republicans are pointing out, number one, Trump is like, yay, this is good news for us. The Republican Senate Campaign Committee is saying, hey, we are happy. They've already got ads out about this. Because this is a guy, he follows the party line, the Democrat Socialist Party line. Wants to get rid of police, wants to get rid of ICE, wants to get rid of private property, wants to seize your private property, wants to give it to everybody. It just goes down the whole, it's a communist. It's communism, basically, right? So they're happy about that. And other people are pointing out that he only got 48% of the vote. It's not like not even half of the Democrats in Michigan support him. And there are polls out there that indicate, while a lot of people are Democrat leaning, the so-called unaffiliated voters are Democrat leaning, they are not socialist leaning, right? And so the question is, do they sit out of a race like this? Do they say, well, I'd still rather have a socialist than, a Trump supporter? I mean, I don't know. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's all the regular Democrats are going to all come into Michigan and support El-Sayed. The candidate who lost, she's going to support the candidate. She's going to get the Mensheviks, which is the name of the party, the Bolsheviks in Russia, just ate alive and massacred in 1919. The establishment Democrats are also the Mensheviks, and they're going to get eaten alive by their democratic socialists.
Where do you think that, like, the so-called independent voter, where are they going to land in something like
this? There are no independent voters. I mean, there's some, but you tend to be a Democratic independent voter and a Republican independent voter. I think the Republican independent voters will go for Rogers, and hopefully the Democrat ones will split or somewhat split, and so Rogers will win. The only poll I've seen that's out there shows Rogers with a 3-point lead. Well, that's not big. That's not
No,
exactly
no.
huge.
No. And here's what, I'll play a soundbite here too. This is what Mike Rogers had. He's saying, hey, look, I'll take this. So Doug, if we could please play the El Said soundbite. Ooh, maybe we don't have it. It's glitching. Okay, never mind. Basically though, he kind of, I'm sorry, Doug, I don't, it's glitching there. What he's saying that he kind of runs down that, like, here's a guy, he kind of runs down the Democrat socialist agenda, and he said this guy is for
Well, the
that.
Republicans are always stupid, right? I mean, they're the party is stupid. Saying, which is really saying to the unaffiliated voters and the ones that might say, wants to codify Roe v. Wade. Well, that's awful to the people who are already going to vote for Rogers. But all the Democrats and the Democratic leading officials want to codify.
I would have dropped that too. I would have gone into the get rid of the police, seize your
Yeah.
property. I would have gone down that road. Yeah.
I
Take
mean,
away
how
the
brainless
production.
can you get?
If you're in Detroit, I don't know that you want, the socialists to take over the auto plants or what's left of them, right? It's kind of thing. So I agree with you there. That wasn't the smartest thing to lead
Yeah,
off
I don't
with.
get banks. Try another dummy move.
It'll be, as we go through this, the Democrats do have the ballot harvesting, the election integrity issues machine on their side.
Yeah, but
And
what they don't have this time is support of the FBI and the Justice Department to look the other way. Before, all the people in Wayne County or wherever Detroit is located could cheat with absolute impunity. Hopefully, they're going to, you can't have any federal observers of our election. No bullshit. And so the amount of cheating, they'll still cheat, but they may catch some of them and jail some of them. But last time, the FBI was busily making sure that the Democrats did win.
well, and we'll see. Because I was listening to another analysis, and they were saying, here's what this El Said, I mean, he's young, he's charismatic, he's a great speaker, and he says stuff that sounds good. And when you look at how some of the universities are, and people in the universities are actively organizing people to go out and, do the Democrat Socialist of America work. He does say things that kind of mobilize those kind of people. I noticed in the speech that he had, it was everybody in the background was like a middle-aged white woman. So there you
Well,
go
that,
with that.
you're absolutely right. So they've checked all the, they look at the demographics and so forth. And the moderate Democrat took all the working class voters, and then all the affluent people voted for El Said. So the people that El Said is going to destroy, and they were voting for him.
Right. Well, but let me just
I mean,
point out in New
which
York.
I guess means they came out from universities and they're wherever they are, but how dumb can these Menshevik be?
Well, I think it is
How dumb can they get?
the arrogance of the elite, where the so-called elite, where they're like, they don't think it'll happen to them, right? They're there to tell all the rest of us what to do, and they're going to seize the means of your production. Like, all these people are freaking out in New York where Mondami's going to take their apartments, and he listed their names and their addresses and stuff
Yeah, dock
like
them all.
that. And they're even, and Alex Berenson, again, this guy, this great writer, who I think hates, he wants to be a Democrat, but they're just so awful anymore. And he's talking about his like 85-year-old mother who's lived in her New York apartment forever. They're trying to make her pay like $55,000 in taxes, saying she doesn't live there.
They should
I
pay
felt
that.
well,
You should have to
I'm
pay.
saying, and he's talking about the hoops that she's had to jump through. It's not like, hey, we think you live there, can you come in? It's like, no, we're taxing you. You have to prove to us all of this other stuff. And all these people, all of the, there's been radio talk show hosts, there's been all these people, these influencers who supported Mamdani, and their apartment is on the list. And they're like, wait a minute, which is kind of funny. But I think that's the elite. They think it's not going to be them because they're so
Yeah,
much
it
smarter than
never has been in the past,
Right, exactly. So, I don't know, and I think it'll be interesting to see election-wise. Like I said, and it is true, the so-called unaffiliated voters, particularly in Colorado, there's more of them. And I think you're right. The ones that lean Democrat are going to still go socialist because I think they'd rather have a socialist than a MAGA person, right? The Republicans aren't going to go there. So I
Well, you know,
don't know.
Mike Rogers is either a great candidate or maybe not so great. He is your perfect generic Republican. You know, he's certainly not a cultural warrior. He certainly isn't an immigration hawk. He's certainly more of a businessman-backed Republican. Boring, never going to say anything interesting, and will, you know, he'll run an incredibly tepid campaign. And so, well, the Republicans, can they get their voters to come out, which is usually lazy males, to come out and vote? And it's really hard, at least that one bullet,
Okay.
3-point lead.
Can
Oh,
I
Jacob,
start
what's going on?
explaining? Can I start
Yeah.
explaining Michigan to you?
Go
First
ahead,
of
guys.
all right, Michigan, let's go back to 2020. They lost enough people in the census that they lost a seat. Rashida Tlaib then became the congresswoman for Oakland County, which is the highest amount of concentration of Jews in Michigan. A lot of them, granted, a lot of them are professors, but a lot of them voted for the guy that won because they knew that Rogers will win by beat him by 16 points. That's what the poll's saying right now. That the governor for the senator will beat this guy by 16 points. The second thing is
God, I
the
haven't seen that.
unions. What?
When did that come out? When did that poll come out?
Oh, that was all out for weeks already. It's been out. Yeah, they
The ones
wanted her.
I've seen, he's got a 3-point lead. No one shows Rogers easily winning.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what they
Most
were saying. If
of the experts, if you
yeah.
go on to the poly market and so forth, it's a toss-up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the poly market is a poly market, but the real polls will start at the begin after Labor Day. But that's point one. Point two, this current Secretary of State now is running for the governorship. She's not going to let anything screw that up. All right? She's not going to be accused of adding votes and mail ballots and all that. She cleaned that place up. And the third thing is because she's afraid that Trump's going to come down on her during the campaign. And he's going to put her in, the Justice Department's going to indict her, and she's going to have to spend all her money defending herself, just like they did to Trump.
Right.
And
So
that's what's going to happen.
well,
Oh,
the cheating does
it's
not
all going to
occur
get cleaned up.
it
What?
doesn't occur in the Secretary of State's office. It occurs in Wayne County. It occurs in all the places where you have a large minority population and you have a large amount of people who are willing to
Right.
cheat. And it doesn't matter what the secretary wants to do.
Right,
She doesn't.
but Wayne County is majority black, and they don't
Yes.
like this guy either, and they don't
Well,
like and
explain that
Rogers.
one to me. Why don't they like the
Yeah.
guy?
Oh,
What are
what
you?
the Islamists?
Yeah.
They don't. Oh, they're disgusted with him.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
I don't think. Yeah, No,
and the black vote goes for
no. Okay,
communists
no.
in
And then
general.
you have to understand something else. There's three or four plants there, auto plants in Wayne County. And then there's one in Dearborn. But in Wayne County, these guys are making a lot of money on the overtime now, and they're not paying taxes on it. Do you think they're going to give that up? Do you think they're going to give that up?
Yeah, he wants to
Well,
tax them. He wants to tax
I
waitress
mean, I
tips.
certainly
Yeah.
hope your optimism is well founded
Yeah.
because that would mean the Democrats probably will not take over the Senate. They'd have to take 5 seats if
Well,
this
that's
one.
why I mean the Republicans seem to be very happy about this. And Yeah,
I
no, they're very, very
think
happy.
about
Yeah.
they're the dumbest people in America.
Well,
The
yeah. They
Democrats
are.
were
Well,
all happy
that,
that
yeah.
Donald Trump
There
got
is that.
nominated
There
as a
is
Trump
that. But we'll see.
school.
Then how did Donald Trump win Michigan?
Yeah.
How do you win Michigan? I assume more people voted for him. But
That's
the
right.
Democrats in 2016 couldn't have been more happy that Trump was a thing. And I think the Republicans being happy about El Said is, you know, forget,
You're
you
just
know.
saying you want to be careful.
Well,
Yeah,
you want to be careful and you want to go out there and really get your votes in and everything else, and Rogers won't bring
They'll do
anybody.
it. They will do it. They will do it. And there's not going to be 500 ballots going to one address, because the post office said, and hopefully we can hold it to them, that any, let's say they send five ballots to one address, but that one address had the name, whoever's name is on that ballot, and that guy moved 4 years ago, they're not delivering that ballot. They're going
to
hold
what
it
they're
until
doing,
the
though,
end of it.
Jacob. Mike O'Donnell, who briefly ran for Secretary of State here, and if you don't follow him on X, you should. He's been doing an excellent job showing how they get around that. So if you say are a, and I'm going to get some of this wrong, so I'm going to keep it vague, but the bottom line is he's going through all of these addresses where places are sort of like social service providers, right? So they'll be their drug place or something. So if you're a transient, right, you can register to vote and put these places down at your ad as your address. So he's showing all of these facilities around Colorado that are getting literally hundreds of ballots delivered to them under this person's name. Now, these people are by nature transient. You think these people show up on election day and fill out their ballot? But no, but those ballots are being returned, and legally they can be sent there. I mean, it's a stun. I was
No,
unaware.
yeah, but you don't return them before the election's over. That's what you do,
Right.
because we have a strict thing. We go by the post date. You know, we post, whatever the cancel date on the envelope. So that's not going to work. But I'm just saying, and in Michigan, it's a whole different story. Here, your driver's license is issued by the Department of Revenue. In Michigan, your driver's license is issued by the Secretary of State. So if an immigrant, puts down that he wants to vote or she wants to vote using their driver's license, that's on the Secretary of State now to
They
clean
get
that
there.
up.
So we'll see. All right,
And
well, Jacob.
that's what, and the,
I hope
yeah,
you're
all
right.
right, go ahead.
I hope
Okay,
your
no,
isn't as
yeah.
well,
Well,
because
I think, Chuck, your point is well taken, though. It's like the last thing, again, even like given Mike O'Donnell's thing, I mean, those are hundreds of votes that are floating around there. And we know, I mean, just the tentacle of the election integrity issues, all the tentacles, this is just one of them, right? There's a reason that the Colorado Democrats want that to happen. And that's so they can collect all those ballots there. Nobody's verifying signatures. Nobody's verifying that the person actually did the voting. They just, these ballots then just get returned. Right. And there's so many other ways. So Colorado, but I think what is going to be interesting, and I don't really know the answer, is how many people are going to go along and sort of join this Democrat Socialist of America movement and saying, oh, well, that's just the Democrat Party now, right? Again, they go back to sort of the
Well, it looks like a
Republicans.
lot in Colorado,
Well,
like
yeah, and
Denver.
right, and exactly, and you kind of come and you look at this, you're like, how on earth could you even remotely vote for this? But people are, right? So we'll see. But it's so I think that's one very interesting thing to watch is how many of these candidates win. So we'll have to
But I
see.
mean, we just had an example on our program earlier where Jim Banks is a very good representative from Michigan, or maybe it's Indiana. And say, hey, great, well, you can't believe this person's going to codify Roe v. Wade. Kind of like, why don't you lead with your worst issue and get
Right.
Democrats to vote for the
Well,
guy?
you're right. Yeah, talk about dumb. Well, and
And
here's the thing too, then, Rhonda, to kind of segue into this. Oh, and I want to let people know we've got Peter Boyle's coming up at 3:30. He was and he's going to be inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and he's in Sturgis doing his annual visit, and he wants to give a Chuck a live report. But it's interesting. The Colorado Sun had an interesting story today, and again, the Colorado Sun is very liberal, so I think a lot of this is a psyop. But they're saying that the Democrat Party now considers all four of Colorado's Republican-held congressional seats to be, quote, in play. We already know CD8 with Gabe Evans has always kind of been a toss-up, right? That's always been pretty darn close. The Lauren Boebert race, what's interesting there is Lauren Boebert gets elected and then everyone starts to hate her. I mean, she only won. Well, first she carpet-bagged her way into that, and I still think there's some bad feelings about that. But she won by 12% in 2024, which sounds good until you consider that Buck, with essentially the same voters, won by 24%, double, at the time before. So Lauren Boebert has managed to knock off Republican support in a very Republican, firm Republican area, right? We already know that Jeff Crank's seat Is very close now, according to Democrat polls, right? And same thing with Jeff Hurd's seat up there, you know, in CD3. So they are saying, hey, we think all of these seats are potentially in play. And I know, Chuck, you've talked to what we'll call sort of Washington insiders who explain why this is important. Is from a Democrat point of view, it comes down to money, right?
Well, it comes down to a party which is constantly expanding its map is a party that is anticipated to do well. A party who's having to defend what were thought to be safe seats is in trouble. So in Colorado, if you believe those reports, the Republicans are in trouble in Colorado. And I don't think it's anything new that, you know, you got Victor Marks as your head of the ticket one. I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
Well,
I hope Jacob is right about Michigan, because that'd be great news.
But I think too, what I think also matters there is, and the Sun article pointed out that the Democrats will consider it a win to a certain extent if the Republicans, like you said, these have traditionally been, except for CD8, very safe Republican seats. So yeah. The Republicans have had to spend about like $40 in the election, right? Wow. They can, well, no, but I mean, they can put their money elsewhere, right? Yeah. If you're the Republican Senate Congressional, the Senate Campaign Committee, you don't have to really, before, you didn't have to really worry about CD4, right? Or CD5, frankly, or CD3. But all of a sudden, nor did you really have to worry about one, or, you know what I mean? You knew Colorado, you could kind of ignore. But you can't anymore. And I think what the article said, which I agree with, it's, you know, if you're a Democrat and you force the Republican nationally to have to spend money in Colorado, that's a victory, because that's money that's not being spent in other places. They have to start deciding, you know what I mean? They're divvying up pieces of the pie. And that means somebody else gets a smaller piece, and which could then affect something like in Michigan, don't you think? Maybe not Michigan, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's worrisome when they're expanding the map. I think you know, I don't think there's anybody that's going, oh, this is going to be a great year in Colorado for Republicans. Victor Marks is going to lead them to an incredible upset victory. No, not so much.
Well, and I think, you know, I remember I've told this before, many years ago when I was a Democrat, I worked on Dave Thomas's campaign in what was then CD7. He was running against Bob Beaupre. Dave was a Democrat. And it was bizarre. No, it wasn't bizarre. It was eye-opening to me how much the DCCC, they call it, how much they control things in that campaign, right? And there was money coming in, and there were workers there for Dave. And then all of a sudden, one day, they got some indication that his fundraising wasn't going well. It wasn't looking like he was going to win. And they just took everything, all of the people, all of the money. It was just like
paperclips.
Everything was gone, and they just put it in another race, right? And so it will be interesting to see. I mean, you know, particularly if you're Gabe Evans, you got to be a little concerned. Are they going to give up on you? Because when it happens, it's not like somebody calls and says, hey, give it one more try, Gabe. It's like all of a sudden you go in and there's like no money, no campaign workers, no paid people, no nothing. It's just like you and, you know, you're like, whatever, your volunteers sitting there looking at each other. So I think, I mean, you can't underestimate how important it is in a race, how the national people decide where to spend their money.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, these guys, those other three, with the exception of Lauren Boebert, you know, have huge money from Americans for Prosperity.
Yes.
And if Americans for Prosperity give up on them, well, then that's, you know.
Right. Well, I think that all comes in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, fundraising, it doesn't seem like they're doing great, but it you know, sometimes that's not that. How do I say it? I don't think we always see everything that's going on there, right? In terms of, because they're, like you said, they're Americans for Prosperity. They're not direct. They're PACs and things like that. But I just think that's interesting. I think, you know, on one hand, you know, I don't think County and CD4 has changed a lot, but I just think. And I'm going to go back and just say, you know, when you have the Rhino Republicans keep shoving candidates down Republicans' throats that they don't like, and they squash everybody else, and you've got the congressional saying, hey, look, we favor jungle primaries. We certainly don't want to have, you know, the caucus and assembly system. I think they alienate the average Republican voter, and the Republican voter, like you said, if they're going to vote with, look at Jeff Crank and Jeff Hurd, who vote with the Democrats, right? It's like, why would you want to bother to go out and support Jeff, somebody like Jeff Hurd? And if you got the Democrats motivated with money, I just think it's interesting. I think that I've never seen that before, where they're talking about all of these places are in play.
Jacob says Citadel has decided to build their building in New York City. Really?
What's Citadel?
Yes. No, that's the guy, Ellison, the guy that was threatening to. Yeah, he's decided, he caved, and he's decided to build the building in Manhattan. So maybe he's got something on Mamdani. But I also heard that Hermit, I forget her last name, is going to try to indict Mamdani on anti-Semitism charges now.
Okay,
she's written him a letter. I don't know, but that's what she says.
You know, you never know. Although the Colorado lost, the court said Colorado doesn't have to hand over its unredacted voter rolls. Which, once again, you got to think, there's the federal government has all of our personal information anyway. It's like, why would Jenna Griswold not? It's like, you know, they have my social security number, right? So there's nothing secret. There's nothing in the Colorado voter rolls that the federal government doesn't already have access to, at least for citizens, right, who are here legally. So, hey, and Doug, if you want to go ahead, you want to go ahead and give Peter a holler? Call Peter now? Chuck?
Do what?
Do you want to go ahead and call Peter?
Oh, no, you're not talking to me.
I am talking to you. Should we have Doug call Peter now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. He's texting me saying he's standing by. Hey, Doug, so if you want to go ahead and give Peter a call too, we could do that. So, but anyway, back to the races here. I think on one hand, you're right, but I don't know that I blame it all on Victor Marx. I mean, he did win, right? And at least he excited some of the Republican voters, right? So
yeah, but his opponents didn't back him. I mean, the Democrats who lost to a communist are all backing him, and our candidates, you know, good old Barbara Kirchmeier says, no, I'll vote for Greg Lopez. Yeah, okay.
Oh, well, again, there's the Rhino unity for you, right? It's like, no, you have to support everybody if they're a Republican. And so, right. And then the Republican, it goes straight to his answering service. Here, then the Republican, hang on. You know, and then the Republicans, when actually they lose, they're kind of like, no, I'm not going to vote for you, you know?
All right, so where is Peter hiding on us?
Doug, try him again. I just texted him. He goes to Sturgis every year. Well, you used to go to Sturgis too, Chuck.
I did. I knew when to give up.
All right. Hey, Chuck, take it away here. I'm going to have to tell Peter that we're trying to call him, okay?
Okay, Chuck, you tell Peter we're trying to call him. Well, let's see. What else can we talk about?
So
we can talk about how great Sophie Cunningham is in the WNBA. She's kind of, unlike Caitlin Clark, she's not scared stand up and say, no, men shouldn't be in women's sport. And there's a new 6'9", 6'8", trans one out of France. They say, hey, I'm ready to play in the NBA. Ready to go, ready to... The NBA is doing a great job of just tanking itself, which doesn't matter because they lose millions every year. And the NBA, just that doesn't matter. For PR purposes, it's worth it.
Hey, and I think, Doug, just, you know, pardon our communicating here live on the show. Peter, I think, is trying to call you on the call-in line. So we'll get him here more. Oh, you're talking about the WNBA? It's like, are they just trying to destroy themselves? It's like they have, you know, it's like no one cares about the WNBA. Not no one, but hardly anyone anyway, right? It's not like their ratings, everything is going crazy ratings-wise, right? And
Oh, that's great. And some of their ownership group, the Seattle Storm. I mean, they're just screaming at teenagers and stuff. I mean,
right, exactly. So I
wow.
think, Doug, I think he tried call. I think he's trying to call that number. I just gave him that number.
Nothing is easy in life.
All right. It's like, pardon me again. I'm sorry about this confusion. Hey, Peter.
All right.
Did you?
So Jacob, do you think they ought to have a nice 7-foot tranny male in the WNBA?
Okay, all right, bye.
Yeah, somebody was suggesting that they should start a team with only trans men, not men
Yeah,
that trans
sure.
to women.
Yeah,
Just a
and that's
full team
good.
of that.
Hey,
Yeah.
Doug,
And they'll win 600 games, or 600 points per game, I mean,
yeah.
yeah.
It'd
This
be
is,
fun to
I mean, there's
watch.
so many problems in the world, and this is what they're fighting about. It's amazing.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Where's
Exactly.
Ted Trimpa? I haven't heard from him in a while. That's
We
no,
gotta call Ted, get him on. We gotta get him.
we haven't. Yeah, I haven't heard. I know he's busy doing, I'm sure, stuff. I mean, he's one of the top Democrat strategists. It would be curious to see exactly what he thinks. Well, I mean, he'd have to on the show. He'd have to toe the party line, right?
Would have.
And he would have to toe the party line and say, oh, I like Democrat socialists. Although I'm not sure that I think that's what he would say, don't you think?
I don't know what he'd say. He's a pretty independent guy, so he'll say what he wants. I mean, he was not thrilled when Weiser beat Bennett, I can tell you that. Ted has always been on the business wing of the Democratic Party, and Bennett would have been great for that. So, I'm sure he's not happy with that. He'll have a governor that's beholden to, I don't know who he's beholden to, but it certainly isn't the business wing, so it will be interesting.
Well, you were talking before. You're talking about the DNC money. They had to mortgage their own headquarters for $15 million. There's nothing. They don't have money.
Well, they have
No.
plenty of money in a D,
The
triple C,
DNC,
and the D,
DCC.
Senate
Yeah.
campaign. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have Peter. After all
All
of that,
right,
we finally have Peter. Peter
bye.
live.
Peter.
Hey, Peter, are you there?
I am here, my dear. I'm
All
here.
right, apologize for the confusion. I know you're there with Keith Ball, owner of the Easy Riders magazine, giving us your live report from Sturgis. What's going on
Let
in
me kind of
Sturgis?
read, just a quick reset as a history lesson. Keith Ball, aka Bandit, bought Easy Riders magazine, moved it to Sturgis. And then also Dan James is here, who is an incredible artist, and he now does the centerpieces. We're sitting in the back of the Emporium and telling lies. And I said, I got to bring these guys on the radio with me. So it is, I tell you, Julie, just to sit between these two guys as a biker, I'm sitting between legends. And
Well, do they
Keith
know
Ball,
you're a
who
Hall of Famer now too?
that's
I don't
right,
know if
Peter,
they
you're
know you're a
talking.
Hall of Famer, but do they
You're
know you're a
being
Hall of
inducted into the
Famer? Yeah.
2026 Colorado Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I think the more important thing is that Alan Berg's coming in, and
Nice.
that was
That's
really
important.
important to me to see that
Yeah.
happen too. So, yeah, I mean, it's a. We always said that you was a Hall of Famer. I tell you what, if motorcycling has a Hall of Famer, I'm sitting with one of them.
That's
Jeez.
right.
Yeah, I think they do have a Hall of
Oh.
Fame. I think
Right,
he's
and
in
Chuck,
it.
I'm going to let you take it away because I have to go. So you're in control. Chuck's got the
As
comm.
usual, you have to leave. Okay. So how is Sturgis this year, Peter? Is it
Well,
as fun
let
as
Keith talk
ever?
about it because I'm just a visitor. But this guy, I'm a tourist. He's a resident. But how is it this year?
Well, we are at the front. We're at ground zero right now. The guns are going off. The cops are running crazy. The traffic's over the moon.
All
Uh,
right.
there's motor there's motorcycles, whiskey, and naked women everywhere. So,
Excellent. Excellent.
you guys got to make this quick because, we just don't know what might happen next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year, Chuck? What year did you guys come up here? You came up as one of the
I
early
came
guys,
up
didn't
in
you?
91, 92, 93.
Remember when it starts in 1938, right? Yeah, and
Yeah.
so by that time, And you can see it now. I mean, it is, I mean, like I said, there's just something about this place, and we talked about it the other day. It's like jazz. If you have to ask, you can hear the bikes outside. But if you have to ask, why do people come back to Sturgis? They won't understand. But the people that understand, and you know, and you, you Chuck, you and Keith are both publishers. And
there you go.
I've seen, yeah, what you guys go through, and that's not an easy way to make a dollar either.
No, there's no way to make an easy dollar, unfortunately. I'll try to find it, but it's
especially if you're a publisher in Sturgis, South Dakota.
Yeah,
I bet.
Yeah. During the rally,
Peter, you write columns for Easy Rider, don't you?
Well, I wrote my first article for Easy Riders, but we're sitting up here talking about the movie, and the movie came out in 1969. And the next year, the magazine came in 1970, right?
71.
71.
71, yeah.
And I just, where were you when you saw the movie for the first time?
Me, personally?
Yeah. Well,
I hate to admit this, but I was never a fan. Mea culpa, mea culpa. But I love the magazine. I've read the magazine before. And I love the magazine a lot better than I like the movie.
Well, the magazine sort of gave bikers a voice.
Yes, exactly.
And although the movie did sort of inspire the title of the magazine,
right?
You know, the magazine was all about the culture and about the action and about the motorcycles.
Yeah, that was the fun part about it. You know, I mean,
yeah, and everybody read Easy Riders. They did. I mean, it was like,
it was the world's largest selling motorcycle magazine for years and years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember it being sold in a brown paper wrapper?
Yeah. Still have them.
Yeah. You remember that? There was Soldier of Fortune. What were the others, Chuck? That was Playboy in a paper wrapper, in a brown paper wrapper.
But there were some others in New York City that were.
Yeah. Penthouse. But I got to tell you, I mean, we need to bring what's left of the show and come up here. And you know, I used to do radio shows up here all the time, and now I just get to work with you guys. But it's been a hell of a day. I'm going to get a tattoo later on today.
What's left? You got your big toe? You can get it on your big toe.
I'm doing it on the Hall of Fame thing. I'm gonna go over, and there's a really fine young woman over here, and she inks people. And
Where are you gonna put it though? I mean, forehead. I mean, you don't have any space left, dude.
I started on my wrist before I started doing all those stupid. And they put me on blood thinners. Now I'm, thank you to Dr. Prager and you, I'm off of blood thinners, so I think I can get inked today. I'm going to find out.
All right.
Hey, you know, there were 640 tattoo licenses given out for this week for the rally.
640.
Wow. Is there kind of like a Better Business Bureau to tell you which ones are the best?
They got to have their hands.
Did you ever get through, have you gotten through life without getting a tattoo?
Because when I was in prep school, because I'm a preppy, one of the kids was, his father was an attorney for the mob in New Jersey, kind of the, whatever that show was. And he told his son, he said, "You ever get a tattoo and I'll kill you, because that's what they can mark you by. That's how the police can get you." So he said, "You never get a tattoo because you're too... You get a tattoo and the law enforcement, everybody else can get you." So everybody in prep school goes, "No tattoos, because if you don't want enforcement getting it,
you're a marked man."
You're a marked man. Exactly. They'll be looking for your Hall of Fame tattoo.
Yeah, I gave myself one. You know, a girl's initials down in here, but it happened to be HD.
Wasn't it what you said? Never have a tattoo where a judge can see it.
That's good.
Yeah. But I gotta tell you, man, we I love this place and what goes on here, and I'm gonna ask these two guys as a final question. How do you
How do you best describe what happens up here for a couple of weeks?
How do I best describe
Pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, it's
motorcycle pandemonium.
It's freedom. Everybody's just doing what they want to do, what they have to do, and having fun.
And it's such a beautiful area.
Well, when I came up there, it was the beginning of the invasion of the yuppies. And I was kind of in the vanguard of the yuppies, I guess. I mean, I'd like to consider myself, I was kind of an honorary one percenter. But no, I was really just a yuppie. How has the yuppie invasion changed Sturgis?
What it did, in about 1984, the Harley-Davidson took the company back from AMF. And when they did, AMF helped them develop the Evolution engine, which completely changed. All of a sudden, Harleys became reliable and rideable, and so yuppies started to pick them up and customize them, and then they would ride out here. So it changed it because it actually brought a whole new audience. Well, now all these yuppies are old farts like the rest of us, and actually now their sons and their grandkids are riding out here.
I heard a great description last night. They said this is spring break for old people.
in a sense that's really kind of true. But it's spring break for motorcyclists all over the world.
So they're the big this is Peter, the big dealership is it's in Rapid City. It's a huge Harley dealership. And I went out there yesterday. Charles, I bet there were 50 trikes. And we're sitting here talking with a guy from New York about riding trikes. I ride a trike now. And the amount of people riding trikes, which I think is an earmark of we hit the wall someplace and we wanted to still keep.
Well, what do your guests think of trikes? Should Peter be allowed to ride a trike?
There's one next door you should try out.
There's a guy next door. His name is Ken Fanger, and he started Two Chins Trikes, and they're turbo trikes. And because he couldn't, he was getting older, he couldn't ride anymore, so he got a trike, and then he wasn't happy with how fast it went. So now he worked with a friend of mine, Nick Trask, and they've turbocharged this trike. Well, now it flies.
So,
you're one of those, Peter. For your Hall of Fame entrance. For your Hall of Fame entrance.
I'll send you a picture of it because I was stoned by it. It was like, holy, fill in the blank. Look at this trike. I met the guy because Keith introduced me to him. I said, what do you want for this? And the guy said, a couple $100,000 at Meekum.
Well, actually, Ken wants to auction this one to the anniversary of our country, and is painted by Marty Harris. Harris, a famous painter who paints for the Smithsonian. And the bike is pretty magnificent.
I send you pictures.
And he wants to auction it off, and then he's going to give all the money to a veterans group called the Commanders something.
Just a good guy.
Great guy. Just a great guy.
Painted for the Smithsonian. They're a little controversial these days. Right now they are. Freedom fighters.
That's not your father's Smithsonian.
No.
Changed Smithsonian.
Yeah. Right.
But anyhow, these guys are really important. And people are coming up. Find the Emporium. Walk in. Keith will be here. Danny will be here. His art, Chuck, is amazing. And you know the story of David Mann. For the people that don't know, I was talking about him. David Mann was the original guy that did the art.
Center spread art.
And you knew David Mann.
Yes. Yeah.
And now the framed David Mann drawings are worth a fortune. Mm. And Danny's now the centerpiece artist for Easy Riders. Yeah. So.
All right.
And it's like
big shoes to fill.
How can Is there, what's the website? How do people get the latest Easy Rider and all that?
Oh, absolutely. You can subscribe by going to easyriders.com, and it's all right there.
Mm-hmm. All right. That'd be great. Sounds like
great Saturday, they have brought it back. And Saturday, I get the on-air phone call at 11 to tell me that I'm being brought in the hall. So that was
that's awesome.
I got that.
No one deserved it better, Peter. It was a shame on the hall that Alan Berg wasn't in, and you held out. I'm not going in before Alan Berg. I don't know why they didn't want Alan. Maybe he's just too controversial. I mean, you know, a Hall of Fame of broadcasters. I mean, you know, that's a disreputable group anyway. Why would they exclude Alan? I mean, wow. Well, but now they finally folded after pressure and pressure. So you finally got your friend Alan in, so you're willing to go in with him.
Well,
so when's the big event that you...
The 23rd of October.
Well, we got to get a table.
Yeah, we'll get a table. In the old days, we'll get a table.
All right.
We'll start early. Yeah. By the time you get up there, but Berg's going in, and that's so important to me. And to their credit, you know, to the credit of the CBA and the Hall, I think they came to, like, why have we overlooked this? And the same thing happened to Press Club, if you remember. And now we have there's a display in the Press Club about his life. The thing that's crazy about it, he was murdered because of what he did on the radio, and to drive by that for all these years. But now it's all made right again. And my understanding is I get inducted, and then I get to induct him, and he's coming in.
Normally you have to go through a committee, you have to go through everything else, but they said, look, I tell you what. Our committee doesn't want to really let him in, so we'll make you induct him in yourself. Hey, you're going to induct me while you're at it, you know? Why don't you induct about 20 different people since you're given the power to?
Well, you know, and I want to do it, and that's the part that was so emotional. Is I don't know what I'm going to say. My kids are going to bring me in, and my son said he's already watching a whole lot of old Don Rickles MTV shots, getting ready to bring the old man. But then what I'm being told is Alan comes in as a legend, which, you know, that's
a new category. You're not a regular broadcaster. You're a legend broadcaster.
No matter what, you're going to turn around.
Timer for baseball or something. I mean, that's a weird, there's a lot of machinations going on. So that sounds like fun.
I honestly don't. I mean, the fact that he's going to be there, and that generations from now somebody's going to say, "Well, who was that guy? You know, why is he there?" And maybe
generations from now, there ain't going to be one, a Hall of Fame.
Well,
it's not going to last another 10 years. What are you talking about? You got to get him in the podcaster Hall of Fame so he can last for a while. I want to really appreciate you guys coming on. And Peter, you've been great.
Thanks, Chuck. I really appreciate letting us come
congratulations
on.
Congratulations on Easy Rider and bringing it back. That's a great
service. There you go. All right, buddy. Chuck and Julie, thanks, you guys.
Thank you very
much. Okay.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, Charles. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. So you got your report from Sturgis, which you were waiting for and stuff. So thanks, everybody, so much. And we'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.